Hey everybody, what's up? This is your host Ryan Sketch with Sketchbook Audio. Hey, I gotta apologize. I have been gone for quite some time. And I bet you all are wondering why. Where have I been, Ryan Sketch? Where have you been? Where have you gone, Ryan Sketch? And the truth is, well, I've had a lot of things go down. In fact, I think I mentioned them on some of them on my last episode, which has been a little bit over a month now since I've casted anything. So here's a breakdown of kind of what's happening. And first and foremost, this isn't like a sob story. I'm not looking for sympathy or pity or anything. It just, this is reality, and sometimes life gets in the way. But I wanted everybody to know that I'm still in this. I'm still having fun, and this is a good kind of break for me from, I guess, reality. So my grandmother died not too long ago, back in, I believe, March. End of March. It was like the last week of March. And then shortly after, I went, as some of you know, if you follow my sketchbook audio Instagram page, I went to a competition in New York City. I lost in the last round, but as soon as I got back, my work fired me, and I don't know why. It really made me angry. It just was, it was horrible timing. Like, I literally just buried my grandmother, and she was the world to me. And then I get fired. So it was just upsetting. And for the past couple months, I have been unemployed, but I have been trying to find work in the way of doing home repairs and handyman work. I'm not necessarily a carpenter by trade, but I have a lot of experience in it. And there are a lot of things that I have done over the past 20 years to make myself a fairly valuable individual in these regards. So I know how to build decks, I know how to paint houses, you know, simple stuff like pressure washing driveways and all that, installing sinks, thermostats, like the Nest thermostats, and setting those up. Even those Ring doorbells. I've been doing little things like that to make ends meet, and it's been hard because I don't have a full business. I didn't want to spend the time creating a new entity. It's just been difficult, but I've gotten this far. I'm still alive. I'm still here. And then on this past Saturday, my dog passed away. He was 15 years old, which is really freaking old, and he's been with me for a very long time, since I was 20, actually. And looking back on it, why I got him in the first place was just miraculous in and of itself. So losing him was just as bad as losing my grandmother. It was this huge part of my life, but I couldn't watch him suffer. And I encourage anybody who has a pet that's nearing the end, just don't let them suffer. It is so much harder to watch a pet suffer through death than it is to just give them a peaceful one. Either way, you're going to be heartbroken, and there's no easy way to do it. That's where I've been. Now, on the plus side, on the upside of things, I did finally find a job. The difficult part was, and is, it's all the way in San Diego. And if you guys know me, and if you've been listening, I live in Detroit, Michigan. Well, I'm presently, right now, driving to San Diego. And I have a bunch of fun places to stop. I have a lot of things in mind. And all of these places I want to share with you guys. So expect an episode every day this week as I journey through. Well, today I'm going to Des Moines, Iowa. And then tomorrow, you know, I'll be stopping in Omaha, Nebraska. That's not my final destination. My final destination tomorrow will be, I believe, Colorado Springs, where I'll be staying with a friend of mine. And then, you know, going backpacking, doing some small, simple rock climbing and a lot of hiking up some mountains like Pikes Peak. All these things are going to be done, and you guys are going to be a part of that journey. And I really hope you all tune in, because it's going to be a lot of fun. Now, this is a design podcast, so without further ado, let's talk design, because that's what you all tune in for. So let's do it. I'm going to take a quick break. In the meantime, go get yourself something to drink. Maybe you're at work. Go do your work. Come back shortly, and we will get on the design aspect, because I have a few things I would love to talk about, particularly my new car. Stay tuned. Okay, folks, we are back, and in the background right now, you can hear the lovely beat of Angels and Airwaves. If you guys know anything about Angels and Airwaves, that is Tom from Blink-182, one of the greatest bands in the world of history and everything. That's them. One thing I love about Angels and Airwaves is, even though it's technically an experimental band, Angels and Airwaves does two things really well. Harmonizing with really fun, poppy-esque beats and tunes, and then working love and a little bit of politics into the mix without being like preachy or jumping down your throat. It's just a really fun band to listen to. So if you like that kind of music, give it a listen. One of the coolest things I found out about Angels and Airwaves a long time ago was that Tom wanted to make a movie. And he raised a ton of money to make this essentially operatic feature-length film that takes place in space, but uses their music as a backdrop and basically the way the story is told. So I think the movie is called Love, or at least that's part of their album. I don't know where it is. It's hard to find. But if you go on Angels and Airwaves' website, you can find it. But as far as downloading it, that's a whole different story. I don't think it's on Netflix or Hulu or Amazon Prime or anything. I think it's just on their website. So if anybody's seen it, go ahead and send me a message. I'm going to post some things about it on the Sketchbook_audio Instagram page. So if anybody's seen it, please tell me all about it without spoiling it, of course. And I'm gonna take a look at it, because I'm really excited. Speaking of taking a look at films and television and stuff and Netflix, I have a very long 30-plus hour drive ahead of me between Detroit, Michigan, and San Diego. So I am going to binge watch, and I know I shouldn't, but I'm going to, because I can. And I can do it safely, because I've done it for so many years. But I'm probably going to watch a little bit, or at least listen to, season 3 of Stranger Things. If you have watched it and you're a part of this journey too, thank you for being a fan. I think that show is awesome. I love seeing what they do with those kids and the monsters. The special effects are great. The story arc is original and fresh. It's just a lot of fun. So definitely going to tune into that. Now, the things I wanted to discuss design-wise, let's start out with what I am presently driving. My Range Rover, if you know anything about Range Rovers, they're not good on gas. Furthermore, they can get a little costly. And lastly, when you breach 100,000 miles, you tend to put yourself at that position of emissions problems. And I had an exhaust pipe that was definitely rusted to shit and would need replaced very soon. Well, I didn't have the funds to replace anything major. I did the brakes, I did an oil change, I did spark plugs, filters, all that fun stuff, and I sold the car. I also sold my Fiat 500 to Barth, which probably made me the saddest because that thing was just my project. It was my heart. I dumped a lot of money and myself into that car as far as personality goes. And, you know, it was just a sad day watching that car leave my driveway. The gentleman I sold it to, Joe, is a great guy. And I'm happy it went to somebody who gave a shit about the car, knew what it was, but was still intrigued by a lot of things. He had a lot of questions to ask. And I'm excited for him, and I can't wait to see what he does with the car. Hopefully he doesn't wreck it or destroy it. But, yeah, man, that was part of my life that is gone. What I have instead is a 2019 Toyota RAV4 Adventure Edition. Let me tell you a little bit about this car. First and foremost, I had to get it in a bright and ostentatious color. So I got flame blue. And the reason I got flame blue was because of the things I just mentioned, but also because I really wanted a Toyota CHR. But the CHR is such a weird vehicle in the sense that for its size, you'd think it would get better gas mileage. It doesn't do that great. It gets like 30, 31 miles to the gallon. They don't offer it in a stick shift here in the United States, and they don't offer it in all-wheel drive or the hybrid model. That's all available in Japan, some of Europe, and where it's built, Turkey. So we get the shit end of things, and that's just that. Now, there is an electric model, a pure electric model coming out. I just don't know if it's ever going to reach our U.S. shores. However, I have a funny feeling that being in San Diego, it's going to hit my shores first. And that makes me excited. So we shall see, because I would love a fully electric CHR. But that said, the CHR came in flame blue with a black roof. The RAV4 comes in flame blue with a ice edge, which is essentially a bone white color. It's a really cool two-tone package, but I wanted to do something a little bit different. So stay tuned, because I'm probably going to wrap the roof in gloss black or matte black, and then I want to put a hood decal on it that resembles a Wrangler or a like the Rubicon hood decal, or not. Of course, I don't want it to say Rubicon on the side of my Toyota RAV4, but I would love for it to say have like a nice black decal, kind of like the Trailhawk models, to help with off-roading. And while I talk about off-roading, let me tell you about this vehicle's capabilities. There's some YouTube videos out there that prove that this vehicle does pretty well off-road. It's no Rubicon. It's no Gladiator. It's just, you know, a casual off-roader. Maybe take it a little, couple steps further than that. What it lacks really is the articulation and the ride height. But those are all things like, well, the ride height anyways is something I can easily fix. There's already a couple companies that have lift springs up to 2.5 inches, and I can always put on beefier tires. This car doesn't have the beefiest off-road tires. In fact, when you look at them, they look pretty casual. They look like just road tires, which is fine, but I do want to do some rock crawling. Nothing like boulders. But I would like to make sure that this car makes it through everything I put it through, knowing my limits, of course. So I will be swapping out the wheels at some point and the tires for something with a little bit more grip and sidewall teeth. But the drivetrain, the powertrain, the driveline, everything on this speaks to being capable. Kind of along the lines of the Tacoma TRD Sport. Not quite the TRD Pro, because like I said, it doesn't have the articulation that one of those vehicles has, or a Wrangler Rubicon, or just a Wrangler in general. But it definitely is something that's competent and capable of handling more than just a dirt road. So stay tuned, because I'm going to post some videos when I get to Moab, Utah. Yes, you heard me right. I am going to Moab. In fact, I will probably be going to Moab more than once this year, and definitely a couple times next year, because next year at the Easter Safari, my new company, which happens to be Fox Racing Shocks, will be taking me there so that I can test out some new product. definitely looking forward to that, and I know you guys will enjoy it as well, because I'm going to go all out with the broadcasting and the podcast and the pictures. It's just going to be crazy. It's going to be a lot of fun, so I hope you guys will all stay tuned for that. Let me get back to the design aspect of this RAV4 and why I like it so much. Color aside, there are a lot of fun features in this vehicle. One of those features being, you know how I hate all black interiors. Well, this interior definitely breaks it up. There's nothing mundane about it. There's a lot of argent gray, titanium silver type coloring, like around the knobs on the radio. Everything's got a nice rubber grip to it, which is great. It definitely has a nice tactile feel to it. The shifter is actually shifting an 8-speed automatic, and it feels sturdy. It feels, you know, just nice. Now, it's not the prettiest color. There's nothing special about it. It's got a nice ergonomic handle grip, but it just feels reliable and pretty solid, so I'm happy about that. It's not the fastest engine in the world, but it is the Toyota Camry's 2.5 liter that, you know, it's tried and true. It's been around for a while. And yeah, it does not feel sluggish. If you've listened to any of my other podcasts lately, you probably heard that I tried out the Subaru Forester and the Crosstrek and was very underwhelmed by its, well, underwhelming power. There is none. The car is just a car with something, a propulsion system that moves the wheels. Now, it does great off-road, both of them, but I needed something a little bit more capable, especially when I'm going up some steep hills or some rocks. I need to know that I have the torque behind it to propel it through these potentially rough situations. The other things I love about the interior of this car is there's a lot of orange. It's not like an overwhelming amount of orange, but all the little trays, they have a nice rubbery grip to them. You know, some people might look at these and feel like they're chintzy or cheap, but honestly, they're not. There's a lot of durability to this, and I can see that they're going to wear very well. Speaking of these little cubbies, there's a lot of them. There's one right underneath the IP. There's one underneath the passenger side of the dash where the airbag is, and it's kind of like the Trailhawk, or oh, I'm sorry, the Renegade, and how the Patriot and the Compass used to have it. The new Compass doesn't have that tray anymore, which sucks, but Toyota, and especially Scion, were very well known for having all these very clever trays. I wish, because I've been a Scion owner, I've owned a lot of them, I wish there was a little pop-out cup holder up on the left of the steering wheel for the driver, but where the cup holders are in reference to the armrest and the shifter, everything is laid out very well. Ergonomics took a big priority on the design of this interior, but at the same time, the designers clearly got to have a lot of fun. The orange stitching, it's not cheap. The material is definitely something that Subaru uses in their new vehicles to make it look like leather, but also be very easy to clean and something that's going to hold up in, you know, like dirty conditions. And that would be my navigation system telling me to maintain my course on I-94 West for the next umpteen days. Thank you for that navigation. Speaking of navigations, real quick, I love the Entune system and the audio through JBL. What I don't like is this fad of making the navigation screen, or the mid, as this is called, sort of a floating unit that looks like you can just rip it off. Tesla is the biggest offender in my perspective. Now, some people love it. Some people like having that big screen there and all the controls up there. I like that at least Toyota was thoughtful enough to put, you know, real functional buttons that actually have a nice sort of a rubbery feel to them. But they still have this floating screen that everybody's doing right now. Hyundai, Kia, Audi, BMW, Mercedes. Oh my gosh, their screens are huge. And I'm not opposed to tech at all. And some of those companies do a really good job of having redundancies in their controls. You know, so you have your touch ones and then you have the actual tactile ones. But one thing I think that Toyota failed in this was that Chrysler does really well with FCA products and their Uconnect system is their heated steering wheel, their heated seats, all of that. They have buttons, but then they also have, in some of the cars anyways, they have real touch buttons, but they also integrate it into the radio unit as well. So, you know, you can have it both ways, or just like McDonald's, have it your way. Or is that Burger King, have it your way? I don't know which one says it. Oh, and real quick, tangent note, Burger King, don't ever make tacos again. Stick with what you know, and that's burgers. And frankly, I don't even think you should do burgers anymore because they make me sick. Arby's makes a better sandwich. Can't believe I just said that. But you know what? If you want meat, you've got to go to Arby's where they have all the meats for sandwiches. A little bit of H. John Benjamin for any of you Archer fans. Let's see what else about the RAV4. I didn't get the fully loaded one, so I don't have the advanced technology package. But if I did, I would have the heated steering wheel, the heated and cooled seats, and I would have this badass rear view mirror that's actually a video screen. So there's a camera in the back for your backup camera, and then there's also a camera in the back, which I don't know if they use two different cameras or one or how it works, but the backup camera, maybe it switches over or it uses a secondary camera, and you can see whatever that is in your rear view mirror. Now you can switch to a standard analog rear view mirror if you want, but you also have that digital one, and it's a really nice HD screen. It's a little disorienting, but nothing that would, you know, spark a riot or make you sick. It's just something you have to get used to, and it definitely works really well, and it's got a good field of vision. Very widescreen, which I like. Now, the rest of the design of the RAV4, it just feels like a vehicle that I should take off-road. The seats have this material that's called Softex, and it's soft textile or texture, and it definitely feels rugged. And I don't feel like if I scratch it up or get some mud on it, it's the end of the world. In my Range Rover, that was really good Napa leather. And if I got stuff on it or scratched the seats, I wanted to cry. By the way, I did do that, and I did cry. And it was kind of heartbreaking. I scuffed up the armrest in the back passenger door. And yeah, was not too thrilled about that. Anyways, I'm going to finish up on this Toyota. Did a great job utilizing the TNGA platform, which is their small car platform for the CHR. Also underpins the new Corolla and the, I think the Camry as well. So they managed to get a lot of room out of this vehicle. And I will post pictures on the Instagram page, sketchbook_audio, of how much shit I have in the back of this vehicle right now. Oh, and the front seat. The one thing I do wish they had thought of, and it's actually something that FCA took out of the Cherokee, but a lot of car companies are putting into their cars to really make use of that second row, is seats that slide forward and back. I don't know why they didn't put it in this car. It would have made sense, and it really would have helped me with some of my packing today, but whatever. Good job, Toyota, on making a really nice, you know, compact or midsize SUV that feels like it's going to last for a while. I will say one other knock on it real quick is some of the plastic in the center console is a little loose and wobbly, but not to the point where I feel like just leaning my elbow on it is going to knock it out of place or break it. I've seen a lot worse, Chevy being one of them. So overall, oh, here's another RAV4. I'm going to wave to them as I pass them. They didn't seem to give a shit. By the way, have you ever noticed that if you have a Wrangler and you wave to other Wrangler fans, does it piss you off that they don't wave back or give you the peace sign? Same thing with Volkswagen Beetles. Now, I know it's really hard to give give anybody a high five while you're driving. But nobody looks like they ever want to give me a high five when I... And I've driven a few Beetles. And my Abarth. I would pass people all the time in Michigan with another Abarth. Or even a Fiat 500. It's like they don't know what they drive. I don't get it. Be a part of the group if you're going to own a car like this. And understand that these cars come with some heritage and some ownership loyalty and fun. Anyways, that's that. I wanted to talk about some vehicles that are out right now, especially in concept form, because I'm in love with them. One of those being the Bentley Continental GT, I think it's called EXP100. Look, I don't think anybody in the past decade, other than Pininfarina and Zagato, have made better looking cars, but their concept Continental GT for the year, I think it's like 2025 or something, is gorgeous. It just screams luxury and sport and sexiness, and I want to do things to it. And there's so many intricate details to the vehicle that you can tell the designers had a lot of fun. They got to do whatever the hell they wanted, and I really hope a lot of those features transition over to the production vehicle, should they ever make one. Speaking of which, and speaking of Zagato, the new, I think it's called the Vanquish Zagato. It's got the coolest grille I have ever heard of. So as you're driving, the grille, it has loose pieces of carbon fiber that flutter as you're driving. I don't know why, but it doesn't matter. It's one of those design features that it's probably functional in some way. I think it adds to the airflow in the car, but when you stop, or maybe it's when you're at low speeds, it flutters. Each little wing, we'll call it, flutters. And then when you're at a certain speed, it all closes up. I think they're supposed to act like those active grille shutters. But instead of making the active grille shutters something that's hidden and like non-existent, you just accept the fact that they're there and that they're doing some kind of wizardry to give you better fuel economy. Like, for instance, this RAV4 has them. I didn't know it had it. In fact, they don't even list it in any of the features, but they're there. These little fluttering wings inside the Zagato's grille close up and create a homogeneous form that looks more like a grille. I don't know how they do it. It's wizardry to me. But it's so cool, and it's a really nice touch as far as concept designs go. Although it's not actually a concept, it is going into production. I think they're only making 12 of them or something, but whatever, I'll never own one. And apparently you have to buy, to get the new one, you have to buy the original one that's been restored by, I don't remember, Zagato or Aston Martin restores it, but man, is it cool. Next, I wanted to discuss BMW's M8 convertible. I thought the i8 and the i8 Spider were the sexiest two doors around. And then they go ahead and just change everything and make something even sexier. I really wish I could own that. But I'm going to get the chance to at least sit in one, hopefully, at the Pebble Beach Concourse d'Elegance. And that is in August, I believe, on the 14th. It's coming up very soon. I'm going to try and be there. There is a sketch battle there. So follow the sketchbook_Instagram page for more details on that. If you are a designer, you're on the West Coast, and you want to be a part of that, shoot me a message on sketchbook_audio or go to the Middlecott sketch battle page. So I think it's Middlecott sketch battle experience. It might be Middlecott SBEXP for Instagram. I don't remember which one, but just type in Middlecott, MiddleCott. You can't miss it. All the details will be up there. They'll be on my page as well. So if you're a designer, I think you should go. No, I know you should go, because they're a lot of fun. And it's a free ticket into the concourse, into Pebble Beach. It's like every car designer's dream. So I'm definitely geeking, and I cannot wait. What else do we got to talk about? Well, Arch motorcycles. I'd never heard of them until I saw this really cool interview with Keanu Reeves, and he just laid out a truth to me that now I am just woke. I never thought I would use that phrase, but I am definitely woke, especially into the, it's like the deep underground, sexy world of real craftsmanship and ownerships of a motorcycle. Harley Davidsons are great and all. There's nothing wrong with them. They have a great legacy. Kind of sucks that some of them will be built in China, but whatever. I'm not going to judge them for it. You got to do what you got to do. But Arch motorcycles, they're all hand-built. They are all very limited production. And the overall designs of them take Ducati, like the Harley-Davidson Livewire, which is the electric one, and KTM, and a few others, and just mash... Oh, like the BMW Motorrad, kind of dirt bike ones. And just... It's this awesome calamity of beautiful aesthetics and design. And I'm not a huge motorcycle guy, but when I saw these, I suddenly became obsessed. They are located in LA, just a little bit outside of it, I think near Encino. And I am going to go see them on my way there. I don't know if I'm going to be allowed in. I don't know if anybody's going to, you know, really give a shit because I don't have $80,000 to spend on a motorcycle. But... who knows? Keanu is there quite frequently. He doesn't just advertise them. He actually is really a part of them. So we'll see. But I'm going to post pictures of their motorcycles. I'm going to tag them. Hopefully they respond. Hopefully you guys respond, because I think they're gorgeous motorcycles. And if you guys like motorcycles and girls, if you're into that thing, you need to check these guys out, because it's total drool worthy, and you definitely need to have a poster of them next to your Lamborghini Countach up on your wall. That's what I'm going to do. That's really all I have to talk about today. We're at 26 minutes and 30 seconds. Thank you guys for tuning in. I'm sorry for being gone for so long. I'm going to make this better. We're going to have a lot of fun while I'm in California. I'm going to try and do podcasts in different locations so you can get a feel for sunny San Diego. And I'm definitely going to do a podcast at the San Diego Comic-Con if I can get tickets at the door. If anybody knows anything about the San Diego Comic-Con, please, please inform me. Make me woke. Am I saying it right? I don't even freaking know. I probably sound like an idiot, but I need to get woke. I need to understand San Diego Comic-Con a lot better, because every time I try and wait in line online, I never get tickets. I'm always like the... even though I feel like I'm the first person in line, I truly am the last person. And then all the tickets sell out, and it's just a horrible thing. It's also really horrible that I will never get to meet Stan Lee anymore. This could have been my year, but he has passed. Rest in peace, Stan. You will be missed. I'm sure some of my listeners, at least, you know, knew of him and knew his work and knew what great things he did for not only the comic book people and the nerds and the geeks, but just for the world. With great responsibility, or with great power comes great responsibility. I can't believe I just screwed that up. But with great power comes great responsibility. And I feel like we all have a little bit of power. So be responsible for it. Do something great with it. And tune in tomorrow for a quick episode while I am in Des Moines, Iowa, because I am going to be going... you know what? I don't even know. It's a surprise. I'm not going to tell you. I don't know where we're going. You don't know where I'm going. I'm just going to surprise you. Like always, be good to one another. Life is too short. Shout out to my buddy Rick. He passed away not too long ago, and he died way too young, but he was a great member to the Comic Con and the cosplay scene. He did a lot for people, and he taught me a lot too. Gone but never forgotten, my friend. Anyways, also get your sketchbooks out. Start sketching. Get yourself prepared. The school season is going to kick back in sooner than you think. And if you are going to a design school, you need to practice. That's how you become good at anything. And that's definitely how you become great at car design and product design. Be good to one another. Get your sketchbooks out. Live life to the fullest. And thank you. Thank you for tuning into Sketchbook Audio. I'm your host, Ryan Sketch, and we will see you tomorrow.